Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Markets.
Yes, indeed, everybody. You are listening to Bloomberg Markets on this Tuesday. Carol Masser along with Corey Johnson. He has been the CEO at Conagra for about 2 years now, so we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on at the company. And find out how you kind of freshen up brands, if you will, that have been around.
Yeah, and he was very kind to send me some Blue Bonnet, some Chef Boyardee. I've got some egg beaters here, some Ready Whip. Or Redenbacher's. I'm ready.
I'm looking forward
to it. It's lunchtime here.
Well, Sean Connolly is in the house. He's in our Bloomberg 1130 studio. He's going to join us right here on Bloomberg Radio in just a moment. First up, though, back to your top business stories, and let's get an update on today's trading session. Once again, let's check in with Charlie Pellett.
All right. Thank you very much, Carol Masser. We are at the low of the day right now. Dow Industrials now down 71 points. Stocks declining. That is a drop of 0.4%. S&P 500 index lower by 8 to 2266. A drop there of 0.4%, and NASDAQ is down 39, a decline of 0.7%. Financial and healthcare shares are declining, the dollar having its biggest single-day loss since July in Europe. Stocks ended lower, though they did recover from sharper intraday slides after UK Prime Minister Theresa May said Parliament will get a vote on the Brexit deal in which the country will seek to exit the European Union's single market. General Motors has announced a billion-dollar U.S. investment plan comprised mostly of spending on models and plants long in the works, becoming the latest automaker to answer to pressure from President-elect Donald Trump to create jobs. David Welch is Bloomberg's Detroit bureau chief.
Well, with a lot of these announcements that have gone toward or what Trump wants, some of them are things that were already in the works anyway. And in GM's case, these are basically jobs that will be retained or added as GM retools factories over the next few years to make a bunch of new vehicles that they were planning to make anyhow. They could have made them in Mexico or they could have made them in Canada if they wanted to, but most of their manufacturing is still in the U.S. And a lot of this is just sort of day-to-day business that they would have been doing anyhow.
And General Motors shares, they're down 0.2%. After the bell, we will hear from CSX, the railroad. Its shares down by 2%. Gold, higher by $19.20 the ounce, up 1.6%. Now, let's take a look at some of the other stories making news.
Thank you, Charlie. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Pim Fox. UK Prime Minister Theresa May outlined Britain's plan today for leaving the European Union. Prime Minister says she believes a deal that is beneficial to both Britain and the European Union is possible.
I want to ensure we get a deal that's right for the UK. But in doing that, I believe we will also see a deal that is right for the European Union as well.
Philip Hammond, the UK's Chancellor of the Exchequer, says changes to the way trade is handled are inevitable.
We will go forward understanding that we cannot be members of the single market because of the political red lines around the four freedoms that other European leaders have set, but expressing an ambitious agenda for a comprehensive free trade arrangement with the European Union that will allow our companies to trade in Europe and European companies to trade in Britain.
Prime Minister May says the United Kingdom's Parliament will get a vote on the final Brexit deal. And as President Barack Obama winds down his time in the White House, some are speculating on what legacy he will leave. Arizona Senator John McCain, who lost to Obama in 2008, said his presidency was a step forward for America.
He was a statement to the world that America will elect a person as president of the United States, no matter what their race, color, or creed is. And it was a signal and something that all of us can be very proud of.
The Security Screening Center in New Jersey that checks visitors for the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island tours is closed because of structural concerns. Visitors trying to visit the statue or island are being ferried to Battery Park, where they can be screened at a security facility. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pim Fox. This is Bloomberg. Charlie?
And we thank you. And again, recapping, the Dow, the S&P, and NASDAQ all declining. Back to work Tuesday, we've got the S&P down 8 at 2266, a drop there of 0.4%. I'm Charlie Pellett. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
All right, Charlie Pellett. Thank you so much. Jinx. All right, Carol Masser, Corey Johnson right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Food, glorious food.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, he's been at ConAgra for a couple of years now, and he's really been working on getting consumers to give some of the company's older brands a fresh look. You know the company, whether it's Slim Jim or Swiss Miss. Did I say that right? Swiss Miss or Pam. These are many of the brands of ConAgra. Based in Chicago, in our Bloomberg 1130 studio on this Tuesday, Sean Connolly is the Chief Executive Officer at ConAgra. Nice to have you back here on Bloomberg.
Thanks for having me.
You guys do have a lot of brands, and I think it has become a very, very competitive market. Consumers, you know, are looking for different things today than I think they were a few decades ago. How do you take some of your existing brands that are really well-known, Hunt's, I'm just thinking about it. I was talking about Frontera with a colleague earlier today. How do you kind of freshen them up? Or do you need to freshen them up?
You absolutely got to freshen them up. We've got 50-plus brands, and the one truth I've learned in this industry over 25 years is that consumer tastes are constantly changing. So while a brand might be iconic, if the brand doesn't change with the consumer to meet their emerging and evolving needs, then the brand can become outdated and even obsolete. And our job is to make sure that doesn't happen.
Is it because of ingredients? Is it marketing? What do you do to update it?
Well, the first thing you do is you have to have an external focus in your culture. You have to look at consumers. You have to see trends as they're emerging. And you have to understand, what are these consumers looking for? Today, as an example, consumers are increasingly looking for clean label, more natural, more organic foods. They're also looking for global flavor adventure, bold flavors. So these are the kinds of modern food attributes that we've got to add to our products. At the same time, we've been quite busy removing negatives, whether it's lowering sodium in our products or even most recently with Ready Whip, eliminating any growth hormone from the dairy we source for Ready Whip, which has always been made from real milk.
It is dramatic, I think, what's happening here. What does that mean in terms of developing new product and the time it takes you to develop new products?
Well, historically, it took us too long, and one of the things we're focusing on is shortening our speed to market. So we'd like to get from idea to market in, you know, several months instead of the better part of a year, and that means we've got to have agility baked into the way we identify new opportunities and the way we translate those insights into action, and we're working on that. We've put together a growth center of excellence. We have a new innovation chief, a guy we brought in named Darren Serrao, and we're making tremendous progress. The innovation pipeline is looking robust again.
You've had several years, though, of year-over-year revenue declines, and you say you've got to kind of move quickly. I mean, do you also weed out some of the brands? Does it make sense to let some of the brands go and really focus on some that maybe have the best opportunities going forward?
Potentially, but instead of letting some of the brands go, what we've been focusing on is letting some of our volume go. Specifically, we had a historic track record of essentially giving away a lot of product at deep discounts. And as you might imagine, that does not build a great relationship between our brands and loyal consumers. It builds a relationship between our brands and people who are looking for hot deals. So we've consciously given up some of that very low profit volume so that we can instead focus our energy on the consumers who want innovation and who want more premiumization of our products. And that's all been part of the plan. So one of the best things to do is to juxtapose that volume trend up against our margin trend, where we've seen a massive margin expansion in our business in the last couple of years, about 500 basis points a gross margin in just 2 years.
Yeah, several years of gross margin improvement, in fact.
Yeah, in terms of relying on it, you talked in the conference call a little bit in the last quarter and previously about six brands that were 80% of the volume decline. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, what we've been focusing on is reducing deep discount promotion in our portfolio. And as you might imagine, there are certain brands that were historically the go-to players for what we'll call 10 for 10s, 10 units for $10. Chef Boyardee is a classic example where we were selling Chef just a year or so ago at prices that were below when we acquired the company almost 20 years ago. So that's not any way to build a brand and build a business. Instead, we'd rather invest our money in improving the product quality and contemporizing the products. And so, therefore, as we pull back on those behaviors, we focus that pullback on the brands that were the most notorious culprits historically.
Do you also somehow add to the portfolio, you know, go for some of the new upstart companies that are kind of what consumers want at this point?
We do. What you'll see us do over time is, A, strengthen the businesses we already own, B, acquire new businesses that are complementary to our portfolio, and C, you may see us jettison something that doesn't make sense with our portfolio. In the last year, for example, we have divested two businesses that didn't fit. Great businesses, but frankly are more valuable to somebody else, with Spice Tech which is a spice company, and J.M. Swank, which is a distribution company.
Do you move into, like, fresh foods and things?
Yeah, we've got fresh business today. We've got frozen business. We've got center store business. We've got snacks. We compete in all parts of the store. We compete across breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacking. So, you know, we want to stay close to home in terms of what we do. I don't think you'll see us take any flyers into new businesses that we're not equipped to take on.
So in terms of, you know, I was thinking about all these prepared meals that people are doing and stuff. I've been playing around with them at home, and it's kind of nice. It's kind of convenient and seems to be a growing trend, still a small part of the market. But is that something you guys would dig into?
Well, interestingly, that is part of the Frontera playbook. Frontera is our most recent acquisition, and one of the most recent innovations from the Frontera team was a really terrific fresh meal kit that is sold in the club channel and is doing quite well.
Shame on me. I will check it out.
All right.
There's a lot of brands. Interesting to hear. Should be an interesting year, too. Political year.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next time, maybe we'll talk about that. Sean Connolly, thank you. Chief Executive Officer at Conagra Brands, joining us right here on Bloomberg Markets. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio. Carol Master, along with Corey Johnson. Another market check in just a moment right here on Bloomberg Radio.
Bloomberg Markets brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action adventure cameras. Willoughby's, the corner of 5th Avenue and 31st Street.